Welcome to the I Am Radio TV Network.
To the I Am Radio Network, where noted authority coaches, authors, and speakers collaborate and bring to you the best in radio, TV, and live events worldwide. And now, the I Am Radio Network proudly presents the Dr. Simone Show with your host, Dr. Simone Reves. Get ready to go. Interactive.
Welcome. This is Dr. Simone Reves, and welcome to the I Am Radio Network, and more specifically to the Dr. Simone Show, the Mind Body Edge. And my show focuses on finding people for you to listen to who do things in a bit of a different way. They're creative. They do things in alternative ways to what we typically see. And they work on improving mind-body health and well-being, increasing success, and giving us a lot of tips on how to improve our lives. And today will prove no exception to that. I have a Mr. Jim Chong who's going to be joining us in a moment, and I think you're really going to enjoy what you hear today, and you're also going to learn a great deal. I briefly wanted to introduce myself to those of you who don't know me as of yet. I am a certified business and life coach, and I specialize in brain coaching, which means that I use neuroscientific techniques in working with my clients. And these neuroscientific techniques are proven brain-based techniques that really help my clients make changes in the way that they think, so moving away from all of the negative stinking thinking. And when we change the way we think, we change the way we feel and the way we act. So major changes in people's lifestyles and lives for the better is what I aim to help people with. And now I would like to invite Mr. Jim Chong. I'll tell you a little bit about him. He is a master MC, and I mean master MC. I've been at some events where he's MC'd, and he is just phenomenal. He's also a professional speaker and a licensed financial professional. He is the founder of Solutions for Life, the Walk Star, that's not R-O-C-K, it's W-O-K, and you'll understand why in a moment. He's also a radio personality in the greater Sacramento area on Money 105.5 FM as the Walk Star on the Rush Hour for Success. Now, Jim is one busy man. He's actively involved and on the executive team of several established nonprofit and cause-based communities and multicultural organizations in his local area. In addition, he excels in helping support those that wish to gain more influence and exposure in their local community. And to do that, he helps support them as either being an MC or supporting them through social media. I know he's been of tremendous support to me. He's been very helpful. And we do some joint ventures together. Jim also supports and facilitates several workshops and programs, such as the Central Valley Recovery Awareness Preventing Strokes, or CVRAPS, monthly program. And it's on behalf of Healings in Motion, which he'll be talking about more later. He also provides bi-monthly inspiration and leadership talks for the Central Valley Asian American Chamber of Commerce. In May, he's going to be emceeing the Asian Festival in the town of Locke, California. And he recently appeared on the national program for the Travel Channel in Ghost Adventures. He's also helped produce award-winning short films. He's a co-owner of In Motion Theater Company. And now we will meet Jim. Mr. Jim Chong, are you there?
Yes. How are you, Dr. Simone? It is definitely an honor to be on your show. This is great. I feel smarter already.
Well, that's just great. I should have a series of people on here just read their bios and they'll feel smarter.
Great. Well, this is a brain show and you are the expert. And by the way, I have to interject. We appreciated having you out here at the CV Wraps program on behalf of Healings in Motion. You know, it's a 9-year organization in St. Joseph's Medical Center. You did a phenomenal job. People are still talking about the talk that you gave. And so I just want to give you accolades for that, because what you do very well and very articulately. So I have to get that in there first. Shameless plug for you.
Oh, well, you know what? I really appreciate it. I thank you so much. And I had a wonderful time at that venue, at that event. The people that with whom you work are absolutely wonderful. And the cause is a fantastic one. Do you want to talk about that for a moment?
Absolutely. You know, I will tell you, Healings in Motion, you can find out about them at healingsinmotion.org, was founded by Mary Nicholson, and she has had her own bout with different ailments in life, and she's come back really strong, formed this organization called Healings in Motion, dedicated to brain health and also stroke awareness, as well as support for caregivers. Her heart is just phenomenal. In San Joaquin County, she's loved definitely by many communities and definitely recognized within the county. And we're actually going to be having our third walk. That's W-A-L-K.
Yes.
It's going to be the Brain Walk over in San Joaquin County. And it's going to be fabulous. And that will be happening later in June. And just to raise money for brain health and stroke awareness. So she's done some phenomenal things. And every month we have the CV Wraps program. And we educate people in terms of different things that affects people's lifestyles and brain health as well. But it was definitely great to have you come out, definitely a perfect match. And I love the cause of Healings in Motion, because that whole concept of healings, you know, just going through healing in life. There are different things that happen in life, not necessarily just about the brain, but definitely they do affect people's lives in a variety of ways. And people go through healing throughout their lifetime, just for a variety of reasons. And so
I
wanted to give a shout out to Mary Nicholson, as well as the people that support Healings in Motion.
Yes, Mary is wonderful. I feel really honored to know her. So you, even from listening to what you just said, I'm sure that people can pick up that you're a very passionate person, very enthusiastic and passionate. And, you know, Jim, I'm wondering, what is this driving force behind you that makes you do what you do? And what's the key to making it all work for you?
You know, I think that one of the big keys I found is just the simple word, but it's a very powerful word called gratitude. I feel like I've been blessed with a lot in life. And I really haven't gone through that much hardship except for the last few years. There's just been some different life situations that had happened. And I realized how much we need to really value every moment in life. And going through my own healing on certain things, it's really made me really passionate to support other people. Even before then, I've always loved speaking, supporting other people, supporting the greater good. But because now I actually can really relate to the pain that sometimes people feel going through life, whether it be through someone they love going on through some sort of separation or just some ailment, it's made me really passionate about helping people get their message out. And that's even where the Walk Star came up. We came up with that, W-O-K-S-T-A-R, you know, Walk Star, party like a Walk Star.
Party like a Walk Star.
That helps me connect with multicultural communities. And I'm on the board of several communities at an executive level, multicultural and cause-based. And I just love to see people thrive. And I realized my real purpose in life is to really help support others get their message out. And in that way, I can really increase my influence, because I believe time's short. And I think that we have to make the most of every breath we take, because, you know, if we're taking the breath, that's a breath that someone else is not able to take. And if you follow me, you see that's exactly what I stand for. And I just love helping people.
No, that's so fantastic to hear. It really is, especially in these days and times where a lot of people just seem to be excessively focused on themselves. You really stand out. Now, I know that you focus on something that you call the three M's, money, message, and moments. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. You know, I work with money directly. I'm a licensed financial professional. It's funny because in a lot of venues, I don't really talk directly about that at all. But right. I believe that these things are the things that have driven me and perhaps touched many people's lives. As you know, and you've been on our show as well, I co-host a show as a walk star, and we also have the other radio personality, the theater queen, which is Cammie Ferry. And on that show, we talk about health and wealth. I deal with the wealth part. And money, we say, drives everything. A lot of money, a lot of choices, little money, little choices, no money. The choices are often chosen for you in life. And so
right.
it's really important to dial that in to be able to sustain whatever you want to do. And in terms of the messaging, I believe that all of us have a message to give. And that's what makes me so passionate about speaking. And, you know, now really emceeing to support those that are speakers. Those individuals and communities, but to help them get their message out, because, you know, the message of our life is something that somebody needs to listen to out there and can really learn from. And then finally, the moments in life that we have are the times that we sit back and really reflect on the things that are most important. And I think those are the times when we're lying in bed at night that really help give us the power and passion of what we do. And we reflect upon the different blessings we've had and the different challenges that we've overcome in life or that we're facing. And so these three things, I think, are very powerful to really be connected with and really understand.
Right, right. You know, as you were mentioning the moments and sitting in your bed and feeling grateful and all of those things, I had that visual image of somebody resting in their bed. And the thought that went through my mind was another M, which is mindset. Because during those moments, certainly one could choose to look at what they're grateful for and to look at the positives and to really benefit that way. However, if one's mindset is more in the negative direction, sitting there thinking of negative thoughts can take one in a quite a different arena, can really make one feel worried, frustrated, anxious. What are your thoughts about mindset?
Mindset is the thing that really, I believe, is an anchor for everything that we do. We talk a lot about mindset on our show. Cammie talks a lot. She deals with the health aspect of things on our show. She deals a lot with the mindset on health, and I deal with a lot with the mindset on wealth. And it's just an anchor for everything. And as a matter of fact, I'm glad you brought that up, because, of course, your show is about the brain.
Right.
And just the things that I talk about, the things that help people become successful or at least put them on a path to success, deal with the mindset. But I believe that there's a lot that goes on in our mind. And I'm really looking forward to asking you questions about what's really happening neurologically as people are focused on certain things. And so, you know, I know that people go through a lot, and if we can understand the mind a little bit more and understand why we think the way we do and what sort of things we can do to maybe help even the odds to keep us on that track of being successful, we have more of a chance to achieve our goals. And we watch a lot about these things, about even taking risks. If it's okay, can I talk a little bit about risk versus gain, Dr. Simone?
Absolutely. Go for it.
In communities, I talk about this philosophy that I learned from an organization called Clemmer and Associates, and you can find them at Clemmer, K-L-E-M-M-E-R.com. They've trained, you know, hundreds of thousands of people worldwide. They teach about a win-win scenario, about really creating wins for yourself along the way as you create wins for other people, and there's a whole philosophy behind that. But I know within the mindset of things, in terms of taking risks, there's a lot of things that drive people to take risks. And one is, of course, we'll be talking more about this, and I'd love to get your thoughts again on what's happening neurologically.
Sure.
But when we go and invest in something, there's a risk we're taking because we believe there's a greater reward down the line. Now, what's interesting to me is that there's a thing they have. I'm sure you've heard of them, Dr. Simone. They're called casinos. Have you ever been to those?
Yeah. Well, Palm Springs has a number of casinos, and I've been to them. I don't go often, but yes, I'm quite familiar with them.
And it's really interesting because unless you have a plan or a strategy, you go in there, you win. There's something psychologically that happens that makes you want to win more and achieve more.
Right.
And I liken that to, like, right now we can do things in 1 minute that used to take days to do because of computers. But
right.
yet we don't have more time. We actually spend more time trying to achieve more. So there's some driving force in that, in terms of when we win something, you know, whether it be financially or otherwise, we just want to achieve more, like a consuming fire. On the other hand, when we lose, let's say if you go to a casino, and I've been there, I put some on black, and you know, I win a little bit, I get excited, I want to win more, and then I lose it all, and then I start putting money to gain back what I lost, and then I lose more and more and more. And then there's psychologically just this whole focus on trying to at least break even. If I could just break even, then
right.
I will stop. And sometimes that's true, sometimes that's not. It's the same way in real life dealing with money. A lot of people are playing that game just at a bigger level. And the stock market's a great example of, you know, taking risks if you don't understand. A lot of people don't understand the inner workings, but they just know they want to get ahead. Now, that's really simplified. But definitely in terms of risk versus reward, you take more risks. Usually it can, if it's strategic, have more potential reward, but there's always risk. When you minimize risk in life, you don't necessarily lose anything, but you don't also gain very much as well. Now, what I just shared, there is a lot in there in dealing with being successful, and I'd love to get your ideas and thoughts on that as well. But I just wanted to share that because dealing with money,
sure.
dealing with success factors with people, I'm going to be talking about that this today. I'm actually going to a workshop in the Central Valley Asian American Chamber. I have a little workshop I speak at monthly for personal development, leadership development. But this whole concept of really what's going on in the brain that motivates us to really achieve something, and what's happening when we're winning or losing, is something I'm very interested in, and I'm going to hopefully be able to have you answer some of these questions on the show as well.
Yeah. You know, when you mentioned the word motivation is basically the desire to do something, and it's usually related to a reward. And that reward obviously means different things to different people. What's rewarding is different for different people, but there's a part of our brain that is actually connected to learning and reward systems, and it's called the posterior cingulate cortex, and that gets stimulated and triggered when we're in situations such as the one that you were talking about, in particular gambling. That is, obviously we know that proves very difficult for some people. And if we look into the brains of gamblers, there is a difference in their brains than in people who are not sort of quote-unquote pathological gamblers. When they get a near win, say they get two apples and an orange, their brain experiences the same. Well, basically, it's related to the secretion of dopamine, which is a neurotransmitter related to reward. So they experience the same amount of dopamine that would be secreted had they actually won. So their near wins, they experience as wins in their brains. And that's why they have such a difficult time stopping, because they keep thinking that they're going to win or experiencing the fact that they are winning even when they're not. Now, most of us obviously don't react that way, but we do react to the fact of the secretion of dopamine. That's what gets you into a casino and put your money down. You make some money, and that's rewarding. So your brain secretes dopamine, which makes you feel that it's a reward and makes you motivated to put the next amount of money down. So it becomes a cycle until, of course, you lose. and you don't secrete any dopamine. And at that point, most people have a cue triggering apprehension and wouldn't gamble any longer. So basically, that's how gambling works. And whether you're talking about high stakes, such as stock market, or whether you're talking about gambling in a casino, the same operations apply. It's all based on the secretion of dopamine in our brain.
That's pretty interesting. Now, let me ask you this. What's going on? This is very important because I know in life, when we focus on something we want to achieve, it's kind of the same way, whether we deal with money or just a goal. But what's happening there when let's say you put in money and you're losing, you said some people may choose not to continue.
Right.
What is that driving force that makes those of us sometimes continue and want to at least break even, so we say?
Well, you know, here we go back to mindset, and deeper we go into beliefs and core beliefs.
Ah.
Core beliefs about ourselves and our abilities. For example, if we have the core belief that I am successful, I am intelligent, I will succeed. If we have beliefs like that, we are more apt to continue despite quote unquote failure than people who have core beliefs such as I'm a loser, I can't get what I want, there's something wrong with me, things of that nature. So our core beliefs, which are in fact buried in our subconscious, have a great deal to do with our ultimate behavior in that situation.
That's pretty interesting. So what does it, if you can surmise, what does it say about us if we are more conservative? Let's say we lose whatever, $100, I'm good. We stop there versus
right.
Somebody that says, I want to win it back and I do want to get ahead. Does that really communicate anything, or is it just is?
No, it does communicate. You know, like I said, it does communicate core beliefs about oneself and their beliefs about the probability that they will be able to gain it all back. If you think, you know, if you're more self-confident, you're more likely to continue trying in the face of adversity, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And, you know, greater self-esteem, things of that nature, if you think better about yourself. If you are better able to manage things like stress, if you are not so fear-based, and those kinds of things tend to allow us to keep trying despite losses or failure. Of course, I'm not saying that, you know, people like that who are self-confident and full of self-esteem are going to lose $100,000 and keep trying the same thing over and over. You know, there'll be a shift in their strategies, which is what you were talking about. There'll be a shift in how they approach things. They will reconsider the situation, different options, things of that nature. Does that answer the question?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think going back to your original focus on this topic of mindset, I really believe that mindset is the key to anything that we do to be successful. And if we're not focused, if we're not directed, or we don't know our why, we can really miss the mark. And that's why I appreciate the opportunity to really inquire and learn from you about the brain. As a matter of fact, I'm really enjoying so much. I don't know if your audience, if you've let the cat out of the bag yet. I know you have a certification program you're going to be rolling out, and I've been really honored to be able to be a part of your first wave of people taking it. I'm just learning so much about the brain, and I'm absolutely incorporating it into the concepts of why people need to understand, you know, the thought process, what's going on. So I'm learning a lot about it and my ability to help people. It's just making me all the better to be able to help people. So I just want to thank you for that personally. Just for
Jim, you're so great. Let's give a round of hands to Jim.
It's true.
For promoting my neurocoaching certification system. Oh, I'm so glad that you're taking it and benefiting from it. That makes me very, very happy. Now, Jim, I know that you strive to give people the tools, as you've been talking about, to help them be successful in life and business based on your radio show and the other things that you're involved in. What are some of the essential ingredients that you think are important?
You know, I'm finding a lot of commonality between people that do have success, a success-oriented mindset versus those that may not. And I just measure it. This is no comment first I want to make about anyone, about where they're at in life. There's no judgment. It just is. You know, people either have a lot of money or they don't have a lot of money.
Right.
People either have a lot of friends or they don't have a lot of friends. Each of us individually need to make a comment about what that says about us. It may say nothing. It just depends. But saying that, I'm actually very excited. I'd love to share some of these concepts, but I need your participation because I think it's equally important, just like what I've been saying, to understand why people are choosing a certain path. And so if that's okay, would you mind playing along with me, Dr. Simone?
I will play.
Great.
Absolutely.
And for that, you can win being on your own show. How's that?
All right. That's a great gift.
I will tell you, one of the things that we hear a lot about, and we talk a lot about on our show, is this whole concept called having a plan, called planning. It's this game called planning. And we teach people to have some sort of a plan or a strategy in life. Of course, we deal with the financial arena. You should have a strategy or plan. And basically, there are some blocks that keep people from wanting to plan. And one of the things we touched on already, we really don't believe that that things can go that well. And we want to believe, but basically, one reason is because we don't really believe we can achieve a certain goal, so we just avoid it altogether. And naturally, we don't want to focus on the things that make us feel uncomfortable. And we also want to live in the here and now. And so we don't really believe either we can achieve our goal, but also there's another part of it, or we don't believe that something bad could really happen to us. One of the greatest things that lessons I've learned is watching my kids grow up, but also watching this next generation grow up. I do not understand. I realize now I do not understand what my parents went through to come here. There are so many things that we take for granted. We have not gone through the hardship. We pretty much have everything handed to us. I would say I worked to make money. Everything I did when I was younger, I had to save money. Today, a lot of kids, they don't really have to save. They've never really experienced not having a home, not having a place to sleep, not having food, not having a toy they want. We have these people that are, you know, maybe 7 to 10 years old that are having the newest iPhones all the time upgraded.
Right, right.
And so we don't, why should I plan? I've never felt that I've never failed. I've never been without. And
right.
I think that is the biggest travesties that's happening to us today is that we haven't experienced hardship. And so I think to go and really maybe take a week, pretend like there's no TV, but if you want to take it really further, go on the streets for a few days, in a safe place and just see what it would be like.
Right.
Now, I know that a lot of people don't have a plan because they choose. They don't really believe that something could go badly for them, or they don't believe they could achieve that goal that they set out to. But I think when we really think about it, and if we could take some time to really appreciate what we have, but even feel that pain point, we say a lot of people won't change unless the pain is greater.
It's great enough, right.
It's great enough. And so I just wanted to share with you to help people remove their blocks that this is what I see, but I wanted to hear from you. What is going on neurologically that's keeping people from really planning? We know psychologically that if you don't have a plan, you're not going to get to what you want to achieve. I mean, just that makes sense.
Yes.
But we don't
yes.
really believe it or something. What's going on in the brain there?
Well, the thing that happens is planning implies change, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, whenever the brain is faced with the possibility of change, it likes to make an about face. The brain likes things status quo. and does not like change. Because change implies, on a very basic neurological level, change implies the use of more energy for the brain to function. Hmm. And the brain uses a huge amount of energy. The brain is 2% of our body mass, but uses up 20% of our energy, our oxygen, our glucose. So the brain resists change oftentimes. So that's one reason that planning, because it implies change, that the brain would shirk away from that. Another reason is that planning brings up all the obstacles and constraints that can stand in the way. The brain does not want to deal with those things. It does not want to deal with negative scenarios. And a lot of what is going on, again, is subconsciously based. When I say that the brain likes to conserve energy, that is one of the main reasons that we have a subconscious loaded with so many beliefs and habits, because the subconscious is a conservationist of energy. It requires very little energy to engage in behaviors such as habits. And that's what our behavior is when it comes from our subconscious, our habitual behaviors, like driving a car, right?
Yes.
You can drive a car for miles and miles and then all of a sudden become consciously aware that you don't know what you've been doing the past 15 minutes. That's because the behavior has been driven by the subconscious, by the habit of driving. It was only when you became consciously aware and said, oh my God, you know, I've arrived home and I don't even know what happened. Then you're in your conscious mode, and that's when a lot of the energy is used up. So the brain tries to put as much as possible into our subconscious to handle. And as I was mentioning, because planning involves a lot of conscious cognitive work, there's an aversion to doing that on the brain's part.
Well, let me ask you this. What is the thing that we can do to remove the block that's creating the block for planning?
The best thing to do is to break it down into little steps. It's like in goal setting, planning. You break it down into manageable steps that the brain doesn't perceive as overwhelming, and that when you accomplish one of those little steps, guess what your brain produces as a reward?
Dopamine.
Yep.
You taught me that.
Yep. So your brain produces dopamine, and the brain, you know, is like, yeah, I love this. Let's go and take another step to get some more dopamine. So it's motivating. Also, you do the next little step. What do you get? You get more dopamine. So dopamine is really critical in so many of our behaviors and in the way that we conduct ourselves and carry ourselves out within the world. Now, Jim, I just want to take a brief pause because we're going to take a little intermission here to introduce the radio network.
That'd be great.
Hey, amazing listeners. Thanks for listening to the I Am Radio TV Network. We are thrilled to have you with us. Are you potentially looking to step it up this year in your own business? And are you a coach, an author, or a speaker that could utilize that platform that we offer to provide you with a show and be a partner in our network? We have three levels of participation. We have the platinum level, which also is involved with a phenomenal mastermind once a month. We have the gold level, and we have the silver level. If you would like more information on our levels of participation, and if you feel you're ready to take that next step and really boost your business and make an investment in you that's going to make a massive difference in your business, then please reach out and contact us. We'd be very happy to get back to you and send information to you for you to review. And once again, we thank you for being with us today and listening to the I Am Network.
Thank you, and welcome back. I'm here with Jim Chong, Jim T. Chong. And Jim, we were discussing planning.
Yes.
And
very
dopamine.
Important, a very important subject.
Yes, yes.
You know, if I can go ahead and just interject, I'm very excited about when I met you. We were introduced by a doctor. She's not a doctor, but Rebecca Greider.
Right.
And I saw what you had. I thought, okay, you know, let's see what Dr. Simone knows. And then I'm just amazed at how quickly we've gotten to know each other and
right.
really incorporating a lot of things about the brain. I haven't really had too many people that have been able to synergize the functioning of the brain with what we do, why we do it. People can explain it, but to really connect, I really feel that connection. And when you came down here to speak with our group here, you know, in St. Joseph's Medical Center, I was just amazed. And
yeah.
I appreciate just the wisdom you have and the way you explain it. You know, a lot of people might know some of the details of what you have. I'm not saying that you know everything that people don't know. Some
right.
of it is obvious. Some of it is very researched from your own research. But to have that course that I'm taking with you, I really appreciate you giving a good foundation for what you are really teaching people. So I just want to commend you on that as well.
Well, Jim, you know, it's very similar to your situation. You feel that you were placed on this planet to help other people, right?
Correct.
And you do such a fantastic job of that. And I think that's part of why we have connected so quickly and so well, is that we have the same purpose. My purpose is to help other people. And the neurocoaching certification system that I came up with is basically to help people like coaches and consultants and leaders learn how they can change the brain and how to teach that to the people that they work with so those people can optimize their lives. So the basic reason I did it is to help other people, because that's my main motivation in life, as it is in yours as well.
And you know,
yeah.
May I interject? I introduced this whole concept, which is not a new concept, it's actually an older concept, but a very foundational one, of creating win-win scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Is it okay if I ask you a question regarding this whole thing about win-win scenarios and what's going on psychologically?
Sure. Yeah.
This is very important to me, because anyone that hangs around me knows that one of the things I've learned in life, the more you get involved in living your purpose, the more you want to give the time. But a lot of times these benevolent organizations or cause-based organizations, they're not really in that situation where they believe they can budget accordingly for volunteers or people that do give their time. So the more people give their time to a cause, maybe they start their own cause, the more they find themselves really spending less time on doing their quote unquote money-making activities. And that's where people are not able to sustain themselves. And I realize this for myself, the more my time goes towards helping others, I'm not a self-promoter by nature. Of course,
right.
I can promote myself. I can promote anyone else like there's no tomorrow.
Right.
But I really do shy away from being a self-promoter in the sense that I don't want people to think that I'm doing something because I'm trying to achieve something. And yet, I think I had some of that philosophy right, but some of that philosophy wrong. What I realized was, as more time was going in to being benevolent, I really wasn't about my purpose on the money-making activity. And I'm sure many people can relate to that. Creating a win for somebody else while creating really not a win for yourself, or possibly even a lose for yourself, whether it be from your own finances or resources or time. And to really get people in that mindset of really believing that it is able to be sustainable to live out your passion and cause. Now, there's a flip side where you have other people that live entirely for the win for themselves. They don't care what travesty they leave behind. All they know is they've got to create that win for themselves. And we talk about different stages of life that cause that. But people that are in that mode of Hey, I want to get on your show, Dr. Simone. You know why? Because I want everyone to know who Jim T. Chong is, who the Lock Star is. I want them to know about what I'm doing. It's got to be me. And maybe I don't even promote your show back. Maybe I don't even really think about doing something to promote what your cause is. That would be a lose for you and a win for me. I don't live that way. You know, I've had you speak on a couple platforms that have highlighted you, but you've given value. And in that way, it's been a win-win. Now, my question is, I am very adamant that those that live in a let's create a win for everyone else and maybe not a win for myself.
Right.
When you go ahead and approach people and work with people that are takers, There's a phrase that I heard first from Deidre Trudeau. She's part of our Solutions for Life community. She said, givers need to set boundaries because takers seldom do.
Right.
And it's very hard. It's a very hard concept because if we're a natural giver, you know, we don't necessarily think about let me take from you. We just think about let's just get the job done, get her done, as some may say.
Right.
What is going on psychologically and how can we change that? And the reason why this is so important, I believe this is so key to so many people that are heart-centered, that do want to do a lot of good, but they end up burning out or fading away. And if right. we can solve that problem, I think you'll save a lot of people emotionally and you'll also be able to help a lot of people because these same people will be able to continue to do what they do. And I just wanted to ask, that's such a very big concept, what your thoughts are and how we can change that mindset to where two things, we can focus on creating wins for other people if that's not where our mindset is, but also making sure we create a win for ourselves as well. What is right. going on neurologically and how can we really promote helping us all to create that win-win scenario rather than a win-lose, whether it be a lose for ourselves or a lose for somebody else.
Right, right. I think what you're talking about here again, What I would like to do is turn it a little bit back towards you and ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you think about when you are doing something for somebody else and you're thinking, wow, I'm doing so much for this person and I'm not getting anything out of it. I need to ask to get something back. What thoughts go through your mind about that?
Well, I'm trying to change them.
But what are they?
This is very true. I'm in the financial arena. I have people giving financial seminars, and I've never volunteered myself to speak or even trying to make my way. So, because I never want an organization or individual to think that's why I'm doing it. So right. I think that I don't want you to feel like my motive was impure, and even though I'm learning, it would be okay if that was part of my motive because I got
to
be able to say
it. Okay, but wait. Okay, Jim. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
So what if your motive were impure? What would it mean about you?
If my motive was, that would mean that I'm self-seeking.
Okay.
In my mind.
Yeah. And that's exactly it. And that is one big block that stops a lot of people. They don't want to be seen as self-seeking.
Very
they don't
true.
Want to be seen as greedy.
Yes.
That it's all about the money. And that stops a lot of people. Now, that's an irrational belief. That's a core belief that you would have in your subconscious that you would have picked up years and years ago, when you were a child and you tried to get something and somebody said, don't be greedy. Or you're greedy or something like that. When we were kids, up until the age of about 7, our brainwaves work in a different wavelength. It's a theta brain wavelength. And so we absorb everything as kids. And we don't have the rational filter that can say, yes, that's true about me, or no, that's not true about me. So a child can absorb you're greedy, and that becomes part of their core belief about themselves. So it doesn't behoove them later in life to take some actions which other people might think, oh, well, they're greedy because they don't want to be seen that way. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And you hit it right on the head.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's the not wanting to fulfill those negative core beliefs that we have about ourselves. We don't want to be seen as greedy, as self-seeking. And yet, at the same time, to survive in the world today, we need to be making an income. And so what we have to do is look at our thoughts rationally and challenge the negative thought that I'm self-seeking. Okay, how would I challenge that? Look at the evidence in my life. I in your life. I work for Healings in Motion. I do this radio show. I support other people so strongly and so much and so on and so on. With all of that evidence to the contrary of your being self-seeking, that makes that notion of greed and self-seeking much weaker about yourself, right? If you focus on all the things you have done for other people, it helps you see that it's an irrational thought that you're self-seeking. So you can boot it to the wayside.
Correct.
Literally, boot it to the wayside. Focus on all that you've done. That builds your self-confidence. That builds your self-esteem. And that builds a sense that, hey, you know, I'm worth it and I deserve to get paid.
Correct. Absolutely. And you hit upon something that I think is so true. And I always have to remind myself, now when I'm speaking to somebody else, it's kind of interesting. I see it very clearly for them and I'm able to articulate it.
Uh-huh.
And at times, I'm able to actually live that out for myself. I naturally want to give. And that's the impulse that I have to realize. What I've also understood is that people don't appreciate and they don't value what you do sometimes if there's not a price tag on it. And that's how I get around it for myself.
Right.
And that has really served me well. The second thing that I want to tell you mindset-wise that goes through my mind is I really ask myself, and I know it's not true. I'm usually creating a win for people. I'm very confident in that. But even so, my mind goes through that gyration of, well, you know, am I really creating a win for them? You know, I'm always asking myself that question and reinforcing that.
Right.
And that's kind of an interesting sort of thing. And I realize talking to many cause-based people and talking to many multimillionaires as well that I've interviewed and connected with that – a lot of people do believe, you know, more when they don't have. They believe that they if somebody is winning, they must be losing somewhere, you know.
Right.
And they don't really understand that whole win-win philosophy that you can win and we can win and we can all win together. It may not be as quickly, but it will be conscious and more people can win as a result. And so I think it's interesting what you talked about in terms of this whole mindset. I mean, this is a key, Dr. Simone, I believe, to the people that I work with. And I'm definitely going to be talking with you more after the show about this because you've given me and spurred on a lot of ideas. I believe this is going to be the key that unlocks that success door for a lot of people. So we'll talk more afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and you would want to wonder about the self-doubt, too, that you just mentioned. Am I really helping this person? You know, why? What's the self-doubt about? You know, you would want to ask yourself, where's that from? Where's that coming from? And,
correct.
You know, when was the first time I felt self-doubt? And you can go back in your mind's eye and go through your history and focus on when you first started feeling self-doubt or where those thoughts may have come from. And always, you know, we always want to look at role models in our life as well. Did we have role models who were always giving and giving and never asking for anything in return? If we have role models like that, we might have a greater propensity to function that way as well.
Very good thought. Very good thought. You know, one thing that I think about is, you know, getting back to the mindset and the things that can really help us to be successful. I wanted to just share, I really summarized some of these basic concepts just really watching people that are successful. And I've been very excited to be able to have the honor of connecting with a lot of people that run companies, you know, big companies and multimillionaires, and also people that have helped other people be successful. And I really see the commonality amongst those people versus those that are trying to make it. And again,
I look at
that and I think, okay, you know, if we take these actions or this mindset, that will help us be successful. And that's why I try to share the commonality. And I just wanted to ask you just what you think is going on for those that have achieved the success. And I'm going to say those that have achieved success and really want to give back, really want to create that good legacy. They're not just after more and more, but they're really after helping other people, versus somebody that's just on the extreme, just surviving. What is going on, and can we do something to help alter that, to overcome some of these blocks?
Well, let me ask you, you mentioned the commonalities that you've seen in the people who are successful, right?
Correct.
Okay. Can you share some of those commonalities with us?
Sure. When they come across, they are very confident. Mm-hmm. And they're very grounded in what they believe.
Okay.
I also noticed that this was a surprise to me, but a lot of the people that are truly successful and about helping other people, they are very precise in how they speak. They're very definitive. So when they speak, you can pull out concrete things from their statements. The other thing is, I realize these people, the people that I feel like I like to interface with, they truly are talking about other people a lot and really really about really wanting to help people.
Right.
That's also very common as well.
Right.
And finally, I see that they are involved at many levels financially, and you know, meaning they do contribute to something big. And usually when I talk with them, a lot of people approach them for different things, but they're very definitive on why they give to things. Just because somebody doesn't have enough to eat, that's usually not a big enough cause for them to just give to that person, because they understand the bigger picture. So they understand the big picture and they really have it cemented in their mind, the things they need to be giving to and things they need to be giving to that will have a long-term effect,
right,
versus just short-term giving. And so that's what I've really noticed amongst the people that do have the money, that are successful, if you're defining success as money.
You know, when you mention that, I think of when you mentioned the fact that they want to ensure their gifts are going to be for the long-term good. The first thing that popped into my head was the thought of teaching a man to fish, rather than giving him a fish.
Yeah.
That little saying popped into my head. You know, it's much better to teach somebody to fish than to give them a fish, so that they can carry on and be, and have those changes be sustainable in their lives. That's funny. So you mentioned a number of characteristics about these people, and I think confidence is a huge thing. Basically, these people who are interested in creating win-wins probably have stronger egos than the people who live on the win-loss kind of conception of the world.
Mm-hmm.
They have stronger egos, and they realize that my doing well is not related to your doing poorly.
Hmm.
That we can both. Yeah.
That's a deep thought right there that you just gave.
Yeah. Yeah. We can both do well. And in fact, we can even do better when we combine our quote unquote assets, when we combine our efforts and work together, we can even do better that way. So that's somebody who feels good about themselves, is confident, and he says has a strong ego and is not fear-based.
Mm-hmm.
See, the other people who are very successful and do not want to give at all would tend to be underneath it all, much more insecure.
Correct.
And they would live more by the win-lose scenarios that you had mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
In order for me to win, somebody else has to lose. And they're afraid, in fact, that despite the fact that they're successful, that they can lose it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they don't feel secure about themselves. Mm-hmm. And therefore, and thus, about their success.
Hmm. That's true. Absolutely true. I appreciate you going into more detail and explaining that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I think, you know, the win-win and the win-lose, so many people, it seems like in our society today, do have that win-lose perspective. Do you think that that's a mark more of modern-day society, Jim?
You know, I think it is a mark of modern day society. I mean, I've thought a lot about this. Like, I do lose sleep sometimes thinking, why did this situation happen to me? What did I do? I never blame people because I think we make our own choices in life, and we try to, you know, if we continue down a path that really doesn't serve us, I think we can't really point to anybody else. All fingers point to ourselves, right? But I do think that in today's society, there is this this concept and this word called entitlement. I believe that we believe we're entitled to a lot of things. And I work in the financial arena. You know, we deal with, of course, you know, basics, anywhere from financial vehicles that really help people gain money versus financial vehicles like insurance that help people protect what they have. And it's really interesting. I tell people all the time, we're not promised tomorrow. We're not even promised this next hour.
Right.
Now, we think that this is a very simple statement. Oh, that's really working on people's emotions. I've had two people that I've had a conversation with 2 or 3 months after that had passed away.
Right. It's
this
the
is
reality.
One of the things that drives me. I'm not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And
right.
we better have something planned out, and we better understand what our life was meant to be while we're here. That's what really drives me. You know,
right.
And I can't control other people's actions, but absolutely, it's a commentary. I think it's a sobering one about how we're taught to think today. We deserve that new iPhone, you know,
right.
Rather than just, hey, I'm glad just to have a phone.
Yes, exactly. you're so right. You are so right in what you're saying. And, you know, everything that you've shared with us today has been very wise, I would say, and is very thought-provoking. And I wonder, Jim, is there anything that you would like to share? We have 3 minutes left, or 2 minutes left, that you would like to share with the audience in terms of how they could contact you?
Yeah, they can reach me. They can definitely reach me at 209-534-8000, 209-534-8000, or they can email me at jim@thewalkstar.com. jim@thewalkstar, that's spelled W-O-K, thewalkstar.com. And I would love to get into a talk about life, whatever, support you in your speaking. I have workshops that really support people in gaining their confidence in their speaking, as well as their money mastery as well. And I think the more confident and secure you are about your future, the more confident you can be about living your life and really think about the things that really serve you and that really serve the community or people you want to serve. And I would just ask people to reflect, what was your life meant to be and are you living it out?
Wow, Jim. That is powerful. I love that. That's fantastic. And I thank you so much for joining me, taking the time out of your very busy schedule. And so now it's time for us to say goodbye. It's the end of another Dr. Simone show. Bye-bye, Jim.
Bye-bye.